Can you give folks out there a little background on what the Lake Superior Binational Forum is, how it got mandated, and what your role is?
We're a program at the Sigurd Olson Environmental Institute, and the group was founded back in 1992 as a challenge from the International Joint Commission to make sure that as agencies and tribes and binational governments helped manage the lake, that they have a citizen stakeholder group involved in those management plans so that they could include lake users' comments on how they wanted these agencies to manage the shared waters and land of Lake Superior. And the whole idea was to have diverse perspectives and representations of 12 Americans and 12 Canadians on this binational group, representing different lake users. So there have been members from industry, businesses, both small and large, local elected officials, health departments, academia, recreation, commercial fishermen, the faith community, and certainly environmental perspectives. And the purpose of having this diverse group was to make sure that everybody's needs were being heard, and those needs could be brought back to these governments that were managing the lake and writing a management plan. This forum has written many recommendations to industries and governments on how the public wants the land and waters managed, and we also do quite a few outreach programs so that we can help inform lake users about what some of the issues are, what scientists might be finding out, or what industry is doing that is helping to protect the lake. And we've just been really engaged in the last 10 years in some of these active educational programs in which we try to involve people all around the lake.
I would guess just by having that diverse group get together with different agendas is a big thing just in itself, so perspectives are shared that way.
That's very true, and I've only been with the group for 12 years, but I'm told in the very early stages of this group formation, when they had such diversity, that there was quite a few fist-pounding on tables, and people were pretty vehement about how they thought the lake and the land around the lake should be managed. And even though that sometimes those contentious kind of things come up and they can make some people uncomfortable, but that's really part of the whole process of trying to find ways to engage different viewpoints and come up with consensus-based issues. And that's one of the unique things about this citizen stakeholder group is when they make a decision, it's made on through a consensus process. And so the outcomes can often be a little bit more powerful than just what a single-minded group might do, because it means diverse voices have all agreed with something that can be very powerful. One thing that everybody at the table agreed was this vision statement, and that is water is life, and the quality of water determines the quality of life. And so when you get industrialists and businesses and the faith community and academics all agreeing to that one sentence, it comes out as a pretty powerful outcome.
How much power does the International Joint Commission have? Are they just recommend things to government bodies, or do they actually, are there some enforcement or legislative power there of any type?
They have some input into legislative processes, but they're mainly trying to also work through consensus and setting policy to help decide how the shared waters all along the border, not just in Lake Superior, but all along the border that we share with Canada, to set some shared goals and visions for how those waters should be managed. So it's a little bit of mix of politics and management and outreach that they do as well.
Like anywhere in the world, there's always development pressures, and there's development issues even around the lake. Which ones are most in the public eye right now?
I would say when it comes to human development, the most pressing issue is the mining issue. It cropped up pretty rapidly over the last 3 years when several key mining issues were being advanced through proposal stages or permitting stages. 5 or 6 years ago, mining really wasn't on the radar of the forum or many groups. But in the last couple of years, if more mines have been proposed, such as one here in northern Wisconsin, proposed by a corporation called Gogebic Taconite. This is in northern Wisconsin, about 25 miles south of the Lake Superior border. As mines like that have become closer to being permitted, people are really waking up and saying, wow, mining used to be part of the heritage of the basin, but there aren't that many active mines in our watershed. And that has really galvanized people to start thinking about human development and industrial actions, and also to really start recognizing the pivotal importance of water and good, clean water quality in our lives. It's probably the driving issue right now in the Lake Superior Basin. It's definitely something that the forum's been looking at for the last couple of years. We held open public meetings on mining, and we had developed a website just for mining. We had a 12-question public comment form that almost 1,600 people replied on our online comment form telling us what they thought were important issues on the lake. It's really an ongoing process, and all of us who get to live in this beautiful place really have found their voice in the last 2 years, making sure that they're heard when these governing agencies are going to be making decisions about how to manage the lakes.
And we have mining issues here in the Northland as well. In Canada, of course, there is pressures to expand mining up there too, so it's kind of around the lake.
We're seeing some are affected by policy changes and legislature. The mine that was proposed for Marathon, a gold nickel mine, that one has been put on hold after about 4 years of really active engagement in the development or the permitting of that, largely because the world economy is in a state of flux right now in terms of the prices of some of these world ore bodies. So that one's on hold. But as you're well aware about the Polymet mine, for example, that one is still in the permitting process. I believe I read 40,000 people commented on that Polymet open comment period. Just phenomenal rates of interest. And as a public stakeholder group, we just love that. We don't really say, here's how you should think about an issue, but we want to give information to people to help them get their voice heard, regardless of how they feel about an issue.
At the Binational Forum, you give out stewardship awards. Can you tell us briefly just how that happens?
We're really excited about this as one of our outreach programs. The forum started looking at ways to spread information about the lakes. We also were hearing about lots of outstanding work that groups and schools and businesses and even towns were doing to either protect the lake or educate people about lake issues or restore areas to a more natural condition. And we decided that we would have a recognition program to honor these people and spread the word about what they're doing and hopefully help others replicate those actions. It is open in 6 different categories. And since we started that program in 2004, we have just over 90 winners taking pretty significant steps to minimize their impact or restore an area. And we've got many winners that have been in the Minnesota region in all of those categories. It's been really exciting to see the number of nominations increase every year, because that means more and more people are doing these wonderful things to minimize our human impact on the natural world. Last year, our binational panel of judges selected WTIP as the winner in their organization category for all the work you do to educate people about Lake Superior, and especially the Lake Superior Project, your outstanding radio series that I know we promote on our website, because it's just great to hear the diverse voices you all have brought to the table.
This interview is part of WTIP's Exploration of Environmental Stewardship. The series is funded in part by the Wharton and Family Fund and the Global Awareness Fund of the Duluth Superior Area Community Foundation.